listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man. Onward and upward as NFL football is no longer. But we've got a plethora, a veritable cornucopia of sports topics to talk about tonight, and we're going to keep the needle moving. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So go to geico.com for a free rate quote. Big show tonight. We'll grace the names of Pete Rose, Tom Brady, the lingering NFL story that just won't die away. I'll tackle that in a minute. See what I did there? We're also going to transition to basketball tonight. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Ben Steiner of The Big Lead. The NBA trade deadline has come and gone with a whimper, sort of. Well, did the Clippers actually zoom the Lakers? And by the way, how come LeBron and company, they struggle against top-tier teams? And what's up with the Houston Rockets and their small ball lineup? Well, they won a game the other night without a player on the floor over 6'6". That has not happened in the NBA since 1966. And while I'm at it, did you know the Rockets attempted 60 threes in a single game the other night? And by the way, they lost last night by 36 to a lottery team, but I digress. All right. Oh, by the way, the NFL or the NBA All-Star Game next week is just around the corner, and we're also only 36 days away from Selection Sunday. So which conference might actually get more than 10 teams into the dance? We'll break it down for you. By the way, later on tonight, the debut, we've talked about it before, our own Mackenzie Rivers, macking on the NBA. Mackenzie does so much behind-the-scenes research for us here, and he's really got some good stuff on the NBA. He's going to talk about road favorites tonight later in the show. Do not miss that. And don't forget, or don't worry, I didn't forget about the XFL. We're going to talk about that too. This is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. And this is a situation now where just when you think the NFL is done, there's so much more to talk about. And where to begin? But here's where you begin. As they say in Two Harbors, Minnesota, it's going to be lit. You don't think I'd forget that, do you? This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. All right, real quickly, let's hammer out some bits of business. Pete Rose. Now, I met with Pete 3 weeks ago. Why am I bringing him up tonight? Because I went on my show and said it doesn't serve any fruitful purpose anymore to keep Pete not reinstated. Give him a chance. It's been 30 years, and I'll never forget when I talked to Pete that day and talked about 30 years, the anniversary, 30 years on August 24th, 1989, when he was suspended for life. His eyes lit up. He didn't even think about that. So in light of what's happened with Houston and the advent of legalized gambling, I think Rob Manfred needs to consider, does this serve any fruitful purpose? I'm not going to belabor that anymore. We're going to follow this story and see where it goes. I don't know if it's going anywhere, but I think it's worth a conversation. And by the way, I also want to mention tonight, I wanted to wait. After the bottom of the hour and Brian Finley's update, I'm going to give my own Inside the Fratto House tribute to Kobe Bryant. Kobe, it was a very complex man, and I think a lot of him, and I want to tell you why I will choose to remember Kobe Bryant. This is a man who was very proud but not arrogant, very strong but not impolite, a very kind man, but not a weak one. He was bold, but not a bully. Kobe, a very complex man. We'll tackle that bottom of the hour. Real quickly, the Dodgers-Red Sox odds after the Betts trade, I say that in quotes because it's in limbo. You know, Boston, the Red Sox opened the season at 12-1 at the Westgate, but they fell to 25-1 on the rumor of the deal. And then when Betts was traded, I know it's in limbo, the Sox are now down to 30-1. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, they opened the season at 6-1. They improved to 5-1 on rumors of the deal. Currently, they sit at 3.5-1 to win the World Series. That's tops in the National League, second in Major League Baseball, only behind the Yankees at 3-1. Do I think the Betts deal will still go through? Yes, the parties just need to find new dance partners, and they will. Okay, look, let's not bury the lead here. The XFL kicked off today. Vince McMahon, Oliver Luck, they've been planning this for a couple of years, and we're off and running. And guess what? You can bet on it. And guess what? There's an awful lot of information already out there. Some of it's speculative. But when I talk to respected handicappers and bookmakers here in Las Vegas as to how do you really handicap this league, well, it's you start out with quarterbacks, coaches, offensive weapons. You look at the rosters and you hope that you can assess based on what you see on paper, what might take place on the field, but you still have to proceed with caution for a simple reason. There's no sample size. You don't know what you're going to get until the real bullets start to fly and they block and tackle. And you saw a couple of games today, draw your own conclusions, right? And when I mean sample size, I mean there is no sample size. Take the North Carolina Duke game today. In the last 100 matchups between those two teams, each team had won 50. And interestingly enough, they had each scored 7,746 points and given up 7,746 points. Now, that's what you call a sample size. In the XFL, there is no sample size. Also, the key numbers of 3, 4, 6, and 7, well, they're pretty much out the window. Those are key gambling handicapping numbers in the NFL. But when you don't have an extra point, that changes that dynamic. You can go for 1, 2, or 3, and that was one of the things I was intrigued at today. I kind of like that. Now, if you're looking for an angle, one of the narratives here in Las Vegas heading into this weekend's opening XFL debut again, as it were, was the fact that when a new football league forms and you've got all new rosters and they really haven't had a chance to gel, typically the defense is way ahead of the offense, right? Well, in the AAF last year before it folded, in the first 16 games played in the league's history, the unders went 12-4. Go figure. Both games, I believe, went over today. Having said that, I can't believe I'm saying this. Don't tell anybody. They might think I'm nuts. Well, maybe not. People bet on this. I actually have a bet I think that's a really solid bet tomorrow. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern, the final game, the St. Louis Battlehawks will visit Dallas and play the Dallas Renegades. That game opened up as a minus 10 favorite, Dallas at home laying 10 against St. Louis. Now, from the folks I've talked to that know a thing or two about this league more than I do, the common narrative has been that St. Louis will be the worst team in the league this year, and Dallas will be the best team, hence 10-point favorite. But come on, week one of a league featuring 8 brand-new teams, isn't it kind of way too early to have a double-digit favorite? Now, the market isn't necessarily wrong that the Dallas Renegades could be one of the top teams. They've got Coach Bob Stoops. He's got a pretty good resume. He's got one of the most complete rosters in the league. And their quarterback, Landry Jones, could very well be the top quarterback in the league this year, except for the fact that Jones has been out with a knee injury for the last month, and he went from being questionable when we woke up this morning for game one tomorrow to being listed as the third-string quarterback. He will not start. In his place, starting for your Dallas Renegades, will be Philip Nelson from East Carolina. Now, that figures to be a drop-off. I don't see how it couldn't be. But so far, the market has basically ignored it. Now, the line is now +9. I was getting 10. So getting +10 seems like a no-brainer to me. I think you just simply have to tread lightly in week one and let each team play a game before you can really figure out what the heck is going on here. So I've got the St. Louis Battlehawks +10 tomorrow against the Dallas Renegades. We'll see if I look like an idiot come Monday morning. All right, speaking of other futures odds, the NFL, the Super Bowl, the ink wasn't dry on the newspaper print of the winning team, and the odds were released last Sunday night at the Westgate, and people wasted no time in firing on 4 teams. Yep. The first one is obvious. The Kansas City Chiefs, they open up their 6-1 odds to win the Super Bowl again next year. But I, again, would be very cautious about that because when you consider 2 things, first of all, in the last 30 years, there's only been 3 teams to repeat. The 92-93 Dallas Cowboys, loaded with Hall of Famers, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin. That was the Jimmy Johnson teams. The 97-98 Broncos and the 03-04 Patriots. So that's pretty stiff company. The second thing is the Chiefs, their non-conference opponents next year feature on the road at Baltimore, at the Saints, and at Buffalo. Not going to be easy. They also have to face the Patriots and the Texans, both at home, but the cumulative record of all those teams is 59-21. So Is 6-1 good value? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. They've also got to stay healthy and they'll have a target on their back. It's not easy to repeat. The other three teams that got the most action is what really caused me to scratch my head. The Raiders, 50-1. Heavy action coming in on the Los Angeles. Oh, my God. Well, they were there one time, and they were even in Oakland at one time. But they're going to be in Las Vegas just a few months away. Your Las Vegas Raiders open at 50-1. People are firing on them. The Detroit Lions, my beloved Detroit Lions, I covered for 10 years, pre and post. 66-1, Detroit Lions. All right, good luck with that one. And the Miami Dolphins, Arnie Spanier's Miami Dolphins, 100-1. Well, let's just see what happens. Remember, the Niners were 36-1 last year at this time. Nobody had them. That seemed to work out. All right, one story that just won't go away has to do with where is Tom Brady going to end up? I do believe Tom Brady will file free agency. I absolutely believe he's going to go through the process. This is a man I think is a master psychologist. What is he going to do? He's going to play the Patriots like a fiddle. Look, people in life can deal with good news. They can deal with bad news. They don't like to deal with uncertainty. If the Pats are uncertain after watching that man for what he did in 20 years, I think that puts him in a position of leverage. But having said that, according to Bet Online, you can't bet this in Vegas. The Patriots minus 300 to have Brady back next year. That's 3-1. Cowboys 9-1. Now, could that happen? I suppose, but my moles tell me that unless Dak Prescott goes Le'Veon Bell and sits out the season because he doesn't want to settle for the $27 million franchise tag, I don't think it's going to happen. The other two teams I think you have to really consider why would the Chargers want Brady? They're 4-1 right now. It would be a business decision. Come on, man. In their first three seasons in Los Angeles, the Chargers have absolutely failed to get a significant foothold. They routinely struggle to fill their stadium, which was a temporary stadium, and now they move into the new shared home with the Rams with a complete absence of any kind of excitement. Plus, if Brady were to go to Los Angeles and play for the Chargers, he'd have a really strong arsenal of wide receivers in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. He'd have Hunter Henry, assuming he doesn't leave for free agency, and running back Austin Eckler. So you cannot poo-poo the Chargers. How about the Raiders? It's possible. They're also 3-1. Now, does Gruden have confidence in Carr, or does Carr have confidence in Gruden? Does Carton have confidence in himself? And the huddle presence. Look, Gruden wants to make a splash. He wants a veteran quarterback. Here's the thing to watch there. The Raiders have the most resources. They have cap space of $76 million. They could go all in and give Brady a 2- or 3-year deal if they really wanted to. Again, what do I think is going to happen? Well, I think Brady is going to be back in New England. We're going to revisit this again in a couple weeks because there's about six teams that have been mentioned having to do with where Tom Brady might end up next year. And he hasn't even filed free agency yet. So this story has a ways to play out. All right, we've got a ton of stuff to get to tonight. We've got to get Mackin on the NBA. I've got two college basketball games at the end of the show. I think you should bet tomorrow. And an NBA game, plus, after the bottom of the hour, my tribute to Kobe Bryant. But up next, we're going to welcome in a gentleman who's an expert on the NBA. His name is Ben Steiner. He is with The Big Lead. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit as to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And what does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? I mean, you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Let's welcome in a gentleman. Talked to him many times on the phone. Does a terrific job with the Big League. The Big Lead, his specialty is the NBA. Say hello to Ben Steiner. Ben, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey, Bernie, thanks for having me on.
Let's dive right in, buddy. The trade deadline in the NBA is sort of come and gone with a whimper. Yeah, names like Clint Capella and Marcus Morris and Andre Iguodala. But what did you see that would cause you, if anything, that would move the needle?
I think that there was a lot of kind of small moves. Like you said, it's nothing crazy. But I think Marcus Morris to the Clippers, I think that is a huge move for the Clippers. They are now completely just stacked. I mean, they could lay out two different starting lineups of 10 guys that they would compete at a high level. I mean, they are beyond loaded. And then on a smaller note, I think that a lot of love because it's the Timberwolves and they're not in contention, but I'm a big D'Angelo Russell guy. I think D'Angelo Russell has the potential to be a top three, top four point guard in the entire NBA.
I'm glad you mentioned that about the Clippers because we're in agreement, and you cannot really mention the Clippers without mentioning the Lakers. They're seemingly joined at the hip playing the same arena. And I think one of them is going to win the championship, and I don't think they're going to be called the Lakers. Talk about the Lakers and how you see this team, especially since they've had so much trouble, Ben, beating the top-tier teams in the NBA.
I agree with you. I agree. The Clippers, I think, will win the NBA championship this season. I think that Morris deal really solidified it. As with the Lakers, I think you look at a LeBron team historically, they don't always have the best regular seasons. They kind of have their ups and downs. But I do agree. I was noting that when they were winning all those games at the beginning of the season, they weren't beating, you know, top teams. They were beating below 500 teams. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not concerned with the regular season as much. I think it's more just going to come down to the Western Conference Finals. I think you're looking at a Western Conference Finals team, but they're just not going to be able to beat the Clippers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel the Clippers are not only deeper, they're going to be more ferocious defensively, and they're setting themselves up for April, May, and June, where the Lakers seemed insecure, wanted to get out of the gate and get the headlines. Let's switch gears. Ben, what do you make of the Houston Rockets small ball lineup? Is it sustainable?
It's sustainable to the degree of, well, what do you want to win? Do you want to win 50 games and make the second round of the playoffs? It's very sustainable that way. The problem is you're not going to win a championship like this. And I like James Harden. I'm a huge James Harden supporter. I love Russell Westbrook. I think he gets a lot of flack from people, but they're not going to win as constructed. D'Antoni, his system, it just doesn't work. And it just keeps getting kind of worse and worse almost with how they're doing this. Covington's a good player. I mean, they trade Robert Covington. They trade, you know, Clint Capela to the Hawks and they get Robert Covington. But here's the thing. This team isn't even an efficient three-point shooting team. They're in the bottom 10 of the NBA in three-point shooting percentage. People don't realize that. It's the volume that they're getting up is making it seem as if they're this top-notch three-point shooting team. It's not the case.
They shot 63-pointers in the last week or two in a game. That's just unheard of.
Unheard of. And remember, in the 2 years ago in the Western Conference Finals, when they could have beat the Warriors, this back when they had Chris Paul, they missed 27 threes in a row in that game, the entire team. So I think that shows it right there. You can't live and die by the three in the NBA playoffs. Right. It can help you, but it can't be your bread and butter.
We're talking with Ben Steiner of The Big Lead. Ben, I'm kind of fascinated. Well, maybe that's not the right word, but I certainly have noticed this Atlanta Hawks 22 and under starting lineup with Kevin Huerter and DeAndre Hunter and, of course, Trae Young. You had some thoughts on Trae Young.
Yeah, I cover the Hawks pretty closely. I'm at a lot of the Atlanta games, and I was saying Trae Young is going to be special last season. When everyone was calling for his head, saying he's a bust, I was like, no, hold on. This kid's going to be special. And look, he's averaging 30-9. He's starting in the All-Star game, and he's 21 years old. You can say the record. You can say, okay, oh, he doesn't deserve it. He's an All-Star. No matter how you slice it, he's an All-Star, and he's playing like one. And if it was easy, everyone put up these stats. The team will be better. They've had a lot of ups and downs. They had a suspension at the beginning of the season with John Collins, and they've had a lot of injuries. But Trae Young is going to be an MVP in the NBA one day.
Now, he's also going to be in the All-Star game next week. And, you know, there are things like the three-point contest and the slam dunk contest. Do you see any value on some of the individual players in the NBA All-Star game next week because you can bet those props?
Yeah, for the three-point contest, he actually came in. The last time I checked, he's actually got the lowest. He's the favorite out of all of them to win the three-point contest. I think he definitely can. I think the value for him in this year's All-Star game will be the All-Star MVP. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm saying there's value there because if his team wins it, I think it'd be because of him. This is the perfect kind of game for him. He likes that kind of big stage, and his kind of style works towards an all-star game. I think he showed that last year during the Rising Stars game and stuff like that. But it'll be, they'll have to win the all-star game. That's the problem. And I think the team LeBron is a little too loaded in compared to team Giannis, which Trey's on. But if team Giannis were to win, I think Trae Young would have a legitimate case to win that MVP. Kyrie Irving's won an MVP. Russell Westbrook's won two. Chris Paul. And that's kind of all up the Trae Young, kind of his style of play.
Real quickly, the Hawks are catching 2.5 at New York tomorrow, and I understand they've got this game circled since their 143-120 loss at Madison Square Garden in December. And the Knicks had to play in Detroit last night, or tonight, where I'm at. They played Saturday night. Well, the Hawks are resting. I got a funny feeling the Hawks take it to them tomorrow. You have any thoughts on that game?
I would 100% agree. The last time I picked that game, it didn't go so well for me. That was this. They did get beat by the Knicks in that other one. I was surprised at the line in that one. But I think you're right. I think they're going to circle this one. They did not come out. That was their worst performance of the season when they lost to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden a few months ago. And I think that they've got this one circled. Now, Trey was questionable. He showed up on the injury report. So I think that might have something to do with it as well. But if Trey is playing tomorrow, the Hawks will win. You are totally correct. You don't forget a performance like that where you lose by almost 40 to the Knicks.
Well, somehow the Knicks beat Detroit tonight after losing to them 8 times in a row. So I don't know if the Knicks can win 2 in a row. We're wrapping it up here with Ben Steiner of the Big League. But, Ben, you also know a thing or two about college basketball. The Big Ten, I think Maryland's the best team in the Big Ten. But I've seen projections where there could be as many as 11 Big Ten teams getting into the dance. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think college basketball this season is just not as strong as it was last season. We were kind of spoiled a lot of the good teams last season and even 2 years ago. This season, it's not so great. So the Big Ten is by far the best conference. I mean, these teams can't even win a road game. I mean, if you look at the records, they barely won any road games. I think you're going to look at Maryland, Illinois, Penn State, Iowa, and Michigan State. I think one or two out of those teams might end up making the Final Four or Elite Eight. You know, you never know with these single elimination games, but these teams in college basketball are just not good this season. Look at the UNCs, even Kentucky, like they're just not as good as they normally are. And I think the Big Ten is a lot more battle tested than the other teams.
They certainly are. And you're spot on about the fact that home teams have really dominated in the Big Ten. Before I let you run, I think we're in agreement the Clippers are going to be in the finals. Who do you think the East entrant would be in the NBA?
Well, I got a hot take on this one. A lot of people won't agree with me, but I like the Miami Heat. I really do. I mean, people wanted to laugh at this, but they're playing such good basketball. They've got two undrafted rookies in Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson, who are just on. They're so good for how young they are. And then on top of that, you got Jimmy Butler in leadership. Bam Adebayo is an all-star. I mean, they are deep. And Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. I really think the Miami Heat will end up getting to the NBA Finals. That's a hot take. But I think that they really can't. The East is wide open. We saw what happened with the Bucks last season. There's no Kawhi with the Raptors this season. I think the Miami Heat could really make some noise.
Ben, I think that take has merit because before the trade deadline, the Heat were 30-1. They're now 18-1. That's good for fifth in the East, and they've even surged past Philadelphia. I want to thank you for coming on, Ben. He's Ben Steiner, the Big Lead. Ben, we'll have you on again when we get to the NBA playoffs. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brody.
All right, that's Ben Steiner of the Big Lead, which I believe our own Jason McIntyre founded himself back in the day, but I'll double-check that. I think I'm right. That's a story for a different day. Up next, I have a tribute to Kobe Bryant and how I will choose to remember Kobe Bryant. But first, well, let's go to the man who turned down the chance to host the Oscars tomorrow night because he's got a date with his new bae, Camila Cabello. It's Brian Freeman with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. And you are right about Jason McIntyre and the Big Lead. The Lakers sleepwalk past the Warriors 125-120. LeBron James putting the game away with a fadeaway three-pointer in the waning moments. The Clippers underestimate the Wolves. Minnesota squelches a 13-game losing streak with a 142-115 emasculation of the Clips. Here's a downtrodden Doc Rivers afterwards.
They outplayed us. They played harder. They were aggressive. They deserved the win. You give up that many threes defensively. It was one of those nights where we just didn't have any effort.
Jamal Murray took the initiative with 36 points as the Nuggets humiliate the Suns 117-108. The Raptors make it 14 wins in a row after drop-kicking the Nets 119-118. The Bucks rise to 45-7, the best record in the league, after solving the Magic 111-95. The Pelicans without an injured Zion Williamson winning over the Pacers 124-115. Drew Holiday scoring 14 points in the last 2.5 minutes. Some college basketball games. Number 2 Gonzaga putting St. Mary's in its place 90-60. The Zags started the game 14 of 15 from the field. And UCLA winning on the road against number 23 Arizona 65-52. The Wildcats shot 25%. That is the lowest field goal percentage in a game for Zona in McHale Center history, all 47 years. So a big time win for the Bruins as we send it back to Bernie Fratto and the Straight Out of Vegas crew.
All right, Brian, tomorrow the Oscars, give it to me. What do you think is the greatest sports movie of all time?
I was thinking about it, Bernie, and I was thinking Saving Private Ryan. Is that a sports movie? I'm just kidding.
Why not?
I'm just kidding. Waterboy would definitely be it. Adam Sandler resonates with me. I will never forget the time that when I was in high school, the varsity basketball coach said to me after the tryout, "You made the team." And I said, "What? I made the team?" He said, "Well, you can be a part of the team if you want to be a water boy." And that's a true story. So he got my hopes up, and then it just went away like that.
You wore number 9, too, right?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, did you ever see the Babe Ruth story?
No, I did not.
William Bendix. Now, I'm not saying it was the greatest or my favorite, but it's memorable to me because it was moving, right? Because Babe Ruth once, on the way home, stopped in a hospital, promised a kid he'd hit a home run for him, and he did. He hit 2 home runs. That really fired me up. You know, Brian, I played a little JV ball as a senior.
Me too. You heard about that. Bernie, you and me both.
That movie fired me up so much that I once stopped on the way home at a hospital and promised a kid I'd hit a home run for him.
Yeah.
I ended up striking out 3 times that day. Kid had a relapse.
Oh,
but it turned out okay because it turned out he was an outpatient. So.
Oh, good.
All right, let's move along. Chris Perfett, you have an interesting take about the Oscars and sports movies.
I do, and you just mentioned Adam Sandler. I don't know if it's the best sports movie out there, but it's topical. He just got snubbed. Uncut Gems, I think, is one of my favorites out there. It may not be a sports movie, but
gambling
I think
movie,
it is a gambling movie, and I think your audience will appreciate it. It's probably the best movie that illustrates what it's like when you have money on a sports game sometimes.
Well, some people do react that way. You know what? I'll tell you what, that's a cautionary tale.
Absolutely. Don't take 7-way parlays.
Yeah. Words to live by. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. And we'll see who. Well, there are no sports movies nominated for the Oscars tomorrow, but so what? All right. Look, I referenced Babe Ruth for a reason. And it's time for Inside the Fratto House and my tribute on how I choose to remember Kobe Bryant. See, there's an old story about 2 shoe salesmen who were dropped off in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, and their job was to sell shoes. But within 5 minutes, both of them called the home office, and they had different messages for their boss. The first one said, "Everybody here is running around barefoot. Nobody needs shoes. Get me out of here." The second one called his boss and said, "Everybody here is running around barefoot. Get me 10 more cases of shoes ASAP. Everybody needs a pair." The second one was an optimist. Kobe Bean Bryant was an optimist. And he was the closest thing we have to royalty in our country. See, we don't have royalty in America. Our athletes, our entertainers, in fact, well, they are our royalty. And Kobe Bryant was both, but he was more than that. You know, I got to see Kobe speak once. His talk was an offshoot of a presentation he'd given to the University of Alabama when he'd been invited by Coach Nick Saban the year after the Crimson Tide had won the national championship. But Coach Saban wanted to repeat. So how do you repeat success? Well, nobody would know that better than Kobe Bean Bryant, right? See, Kobe told the young men, "If another championship is what you're after, then edit your life." That is to say, if what you do every day, from the minute you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed, isn't contributing to your next championship, then edit it out of your life. Kobe was larger than life, and I've racked my brain trying to come up with an apt comparison, and the only one I can come up with is Babe Ruth. See, Babe Ruth, what Babe Ruth did for baseball, frankly, Kobe did for basketball, NBA basketball, youth basketball, women's basketball, all basketball. But if I really try to make my case about the incredible worldwide impact that Kobe Bryant has had on people over the planet, individually and collectively, well, we're going to be here 3 hours. We don't have 3 hours. So let me just say this. If there's any question Kobe will live forever in the hearts and minds of fans everywhere, well, just ask Oregon basketball superstar Sabrina Ionescu. After logging her career-best 24th triple-double the other night for the Oregon Ducks, she checked her phone to see if Kobe Bryant had texted her congratulations. See, Kobe was good at that. He'd done those things before to her, the little things, the big things, always texting. He always seemed to notice, and he was quick with words of encouragement, support, comfort, motivation, and certainly congratulations. And just then, Sabrina Ionescu caught herself, and the reality was sudden. But then she surmised that simple thought, that simple act of checking her phone was, in effect, the type of text only Kobe could really send. As we remember Kobe, in the end we realize, like a lot of our heroes and our leaders and our influencers, they are in many ways just like us. Sometimes blessed, sometimes cursed. See, even our optimists, like Kobe Bryant, he was an optimist. That's how I choose to remember Kobe Bryant. Coming up, you've been waiting for it. You've been promised it. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He's our own Mackenzie Rivers, one of the sharpest guys. You just haven't heard him. He does a lot of behind the research for the weekly show you hear here on Fox Sports Radio every day from 3 to 4 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern. We're coming up with Mackin on the NBA. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit as to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cashback Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. I'm Bernie Fratto, and we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically with no limit as to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Let's welcome him in. He's our own Mackenzie Rivers. He's been with pregame about 4 months now, does a tremendous amount of behind-the-scenes research on all subject matter for RJ and the guys, but his specialty is the NBA. This is going to be a weekly feature. Mackin on the NBA. Mackenzie, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So you have discovered, well, first of all, let's start this out at 35,000 feet because road teams in all sports throughout the years have always had an issue. But frankly, road teams in the NBA history, not as much. Start with your basic research on prior to the trend you're seeing this year.
So just basically from 1995, as far as the data goes back, 51% against the spread are road teams. So you're not making money with the VIG, but if you're just betting your buddy at the bar, hey, every day I'll take the road team, you'll take the home team, you're doing all right, 51%. And that means something over thousands of games.
Well, sure, it's an edge, especially when you juxtapose that against the NFL. And I know the NFL, as you know, in recent times, particularly this year, road teams did better in the NFL than any other year.
Yep.
But you also had a theory about why that's starting to improve. Why are road teams doing better just in general, dogs or favorites? What were your thoughts? Because this matters.
Across all sports, you look at MLB, NFL, NBA, road teams do better than home teams against the spread. And I think it's because books use historical data. Recently, I don't know if you've taken a first-class flight like RJ Bell recently, but they're pretty cush. They're pretty nice. So people, especially with the new CBAs giving teams more rest, teams are more comfortable than ever on these road trips. Therefore, the detriment that the bookmakers are making the line to be doesn't actually show up in the results. So you do have a small edge, I truly believe, in all sports. We'll see next year. I know this year was 57% in the NFL. I truly believe in all sports, you want to bet the road team more often than the home team.
Well, what's interesting in the NBA, and this is what threw me, is that the road favorites in the NBA are performing at a pretty profitable rate.
If you do go back to 95 again, and you're betting road favorites, you're 52% against the spread, almost break even. You go back to the last decade, you're 53% against the spread. So you're making money just betting every road favorite. Now, why is that? You could say teams are more motivated. I think it has a lot to do with the way these books make the line based on ATS margin. Because if you're a home team, you're much less likely to pack it in. You're more likely to blow out the opponent. You've seen home dogs like the Suns this weekend, like the Timberwolves today. They not only win and cover, but they win by 27 as the Timberwolves beat the Clippers. On the other hand, home teams, they don't pack it in. Look at the Magic. They were down 27 in the third. They didn't pack it in. They keep fighting. They haven't sensed it.
We're going to get to that game.
And they ended up not covering, but making it closer.
Hold that thought, because I'm going to revisit that. But let's even take this a step further and add another filter. You have discovered, particularly this year, road NBA favorites that are laying more than 5 or less than 10 are performing at an even more profitable rate.
You just want to pull out all the crap data. You don't want any team that's laying more than 10 in the NBA or any sport, because that might indicate that all the public is on one side, like the Lakers betting against the Blazers, and there's just not enough pros to make it valuable. So those lines tend to get inflated. So you cut off anything over 10, any favorite over 10. And you want any favorite over 5, because that fouling is in your favor. If you're up 3 or 4 late in the game, you're actually a favorite to still cover, because teams get desperate. Teams turn it over and they foul in the last couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sweet spot. You want a favorite on the road, more than 5, less than 10. That is 65% this year, which is crazy. I'm not expecting that to continue, but it's 54% since 95. That's better than most pros bettors do over a long period
of time.
That's
incredible. You can make all the money you want.
No, you have all these crazy models like Numbers Fire that is 52-53%, two filters, and you're already at 54%. Obviously, you look for better plays, you know, in specific scenarios.
He's Mackenzie Rivers. This is our new Mackinac on the NBA segment. You'll hear it every week. Final thought on this subject, Mackenzie, because case in point to everything you talked about today, that we talked about in introducing this segment tonight, was on display earlier today when the Milwaukee Bucks were laying 9 at Orlando. Tell everybody what happened.
Right. The Milwaukee Bucks, they're a team that plays exactly the same on the home or the road, and they just kill bad teams. It doesn't matter where it's at. They're 65% against teams that are worse than 500. I'll take them laying anything less than 12 almost anywhere against a team that's as good as the Magic, which is to say not.
So here's a road team, a road favorite, and a road favorite of laying more than 5 and less than 10. At one point, Milwaukee led the Magic by 27, and even though the Magic closed it to 10, Milwaukee gets the cover and the cash. They won by?
They won by 17. So if you look at the Clippers, they laid 10. You look at the Bucks, they laid 9. Those two ATS margins, they almost balance out. But the teams, they're much more likely to go 2-0 than 0-2 in those spots.
All right, thanks so much, Mackenzie. He's Mackenzie Rivers. You'll hear the Mackinac on the NBA segment every week. He'll come with an angle. He'll come with a trend. He'll come with some newsworthy tidbits so you can be a better, more profitable sports bettor. That's the Department of Redundancy Department. All right, a couple games tomorrow that I'm on. I'm not going to classify these as best bets, but I think there's real value in these games. And the first one goes off early, so if you're here on the West Coast, I believe it's a 9 a.m. tip. Wisconsin is laying 2 against visiting Ohio State. Now, all is not well in Madison these days. When you consider that Wisconsin's second-leading scorer, a gentleman by the name of Kobe King, simply transferred out of Madison after he alleged that a racial epithet was directed at him by a UW staffer, and this isn't good, okay? Now, head coach Greg Gard declined to offer any specifics. So, regardless, it's not a good situation. Fortunately for the Badgers, their guard, Brad Davison, is back from suspension, and Wisconsin hasn't lost a home game since falling to Illinois on January 8th. But that's where the good news ends, because the Badgers have gone 2-4 straight up, 1-4-1 against the spread in their last 6. With Wisconsin's team chemistry in question after King's departure, I like the Buckeyes to even the score against the Badgers here, and they win. They're catching 2. They win outright. An NBA game I talked about earlier with Ben Steiner. To their credit, after a gloomy 3-20 start, the Knicks, well, they've kind of been playing better. But the problem is the Hawks' 22 and under lineup, They've been really solid recently. They're plus 4.3 points in their last 100 possessions. The Knicks are 2-15 straight up, 3-14 against the spread in records and games after facing the Pistons. Why, I don't know. The Knicks played the Pistons tonight and won. I like the Hawks tomorrow, catching 2.5. I like them to win outright. So take the Hawks, take the Buckeyes over the Badgers. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. Next up, Jason Martin, the man who brings it strong from Nashville. It is the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Outta Vegas!